All right, welcome in. Week 2, LA Fantasy Freaks, Ben Conroy, Michael Bailey, Carlos Saisu in the house. Beautiful downtown LA. Hope you guys got a win last week. Hope you're 1-0.
If not, don't be too worried.
Yeah, it's only the beginning of the season, right? I mean, it's the first game. Unless you're worried about domination like I am. I never want to lose a game, obviously.
Well, this isn't a domination league, so calm down about that one.
Oh, the league. Love that show, man. Hope you guys are fans of that. How you guys doing this week? Everybody good?
Great.
Bailey, how'd you do this week?
Went 4-4. I'll take it.
4-4, Carlo?
3-1. I'm happy with that.
You guys both beat me. We were head-to-head in two of our leagues.
That's right. That's right.
I lost to both of you. I made the big mistake of not starting Julian Edelman, who I drafted smartly, and I didn't use him.
You
didn't
have to worry about picking him up off the waiver wire.
Hopefully you guys played him or drafted him, and if not, hopefully you guys had the number one priority pickup this week because he was the number one guy everybody was looking for. Him and Terrell Pryor, obviously.
Julius Thomas.
A few other guys out there. But hey, we're here this week again to get you what you need. Follow us on Twitter, guys, at LA Fantasy Freaks. We're at Facebook.com/LA Fantasy Freaks, however that goes. You guys will figure it out. We're also on smackchat.com. Feel free to go there. Check that out. It's a great website. We were featured there all season long. Let's get right into this, guys. Our freak of the week, our super freak of the week this week is going to be Peyton Manning, of course. I mean, I don't know how it could be anybody else. The guy was 27 of 42, 462 yards, and 7 TDs. I mean, does it get any better than that?
I don't know if they started off with the ball, but if so, he was the second person to touch a football in the NFL season, and that's what he does.
He breaks the 50 mark this season, Tom Brady's record.
He's almost a fifth of the way there. He's like a seventh of the way there.
Yeah, it's scary how good he looked. And their weapons. Yeah, Julius Thomas, you guys were talking about a second ago. Nobody saw that guy coming. If you were smart enough to draft him, just, you know,
you were like,
is that Julian Thomas? Maybe you thought you were drafting the other Thomas on the team, and you drafted him, and you were lucky that you had him because the kid looked awesome. It's impressive what Peyton Manning did. That's why he's our super freak of the week. And we're going to move on to our what the freak of the week. And basically, we got a list of guys, man. Guys that were top 10 guys. They're top to the draft, first, second round. Guys who you thought were going to kill it, who you expected to kill it, and just were flat last week. And that, you know, Roddy White, Dez Bryant, Megatron, the number one receiver taken.
Huge disappointment.
I mean, can you believe that? It was all Reggie Bush on that team. Thank you, Carlos Saisu, for the tip. Reggie Bush, he was a good tip. Then there was running backs like Ridley, Lynch, Spillers, the guys that all just underperformed, especially Spillers, man. I thinking about that guy from how big a season he had last year, such a big fantasy guy. I drafted him early thinking he was going to be a stud, and he really let me down. So I'm not saying stay away from these guys, but just we couldn't believe how they performed last week. So
very upsetting.
That
very
was
upsetting.
Our what the freak of the week.
What caught my eye was Roddy White. 2 catches for 19 yards. He responded to his fantasy football owners on Twitter, said, as far as fantasy, if I don't participate in practice, then don't start me. It's a red flag. So giving fantasy tips to his own owners.
Which is surprising to me that any NFL player cares that much about his fantasy implications. You know, like, why is he invested in that? It's just surprising me. I mean, I was asking you earlier, Carla, how many of these guys do you think actually play fantasy football?
Well, we know about Blair Walsh. Blair Walsh plays. And you guys watch the league. You guys see players making appearances on the league. They're probably fantasy football players as well.
Maurice Jones-Drew made a reference last year about playing.
Oh, he loves his fantasy football owners.
It's really interesting to see moving forward.
Or real quick, I'm sorry, Hard Knocks, when they had an episode there, and one of the little kids, the sons of he was doing it in the corner, and the players were coming over, looking over his shoulder, trying to find out who players he drafted. Oh, yeah, Tom Brady, good job.
Yeah. They were probably checking out if they got drafted yet. That's what the thing is. We got a bunch of matchups we're going to get through this week, guys. We got a 5 teams matchups that we like. The top 5 teams matchups that we thought were had big fantasy implications, and the first one we're going to look at, New York Jets at New England, and the reason, obviously, Tom Brady. Not the Jets we're worried about, but it's mainly with the New England side of it. What do you guys think the Jets can bring to the table this week? Any fantasy implications? Any guys that you're looking at?
Yes, you heard that right. Silence. Nothing. Nothing at all. You know what? They could bring something just because it's a short week. They could come in maybe defensively. They can knock Tom Brady off for the first half or so, get a couple picks. But nobody has him up in the defense. Nobody. I mean, people have Santonio Holmes, Belial Powell. Oh, and Chris Ivory. But, you know, it's going to be rough.
But those guys are all on the bench in most teams.
But yes, exactly. And that's the point. So, no, they will not bring anything to the table but crickets.
Tom Brady's history against the Jets, 5-0, almost 1,600 passing yards, an average of 300-plus per game, 312 to be exact, 13 touchdowns, and only one interception.
We got an interesting situation in New England, though, we got to talk about with their fantasy implications on their side of the ball. Brady, obviously, is a must-start. You know, he's a guy who you can always count on. But their running back situation, Carlo, let's talk about Vereen and his injury, and what does that do for the rest of the running backs?
Maybe not just even running backs, but just injuries in general. They're going to be missing Shane Vereen. Shocking. I mean, for me as a Shane Vereen owner, and you too, Bailey, shocked that he's going to be out till week 11 after maybe a runner-up performance for Super Freak of the Week. It was a great performance in week one. But Vereen out, even Danny Amendola out now with a groin, and of course Rob Gronkowski likely out still with the forearm. So Brady entered the season with a new set of receivers. He's entering week two with primarily a new set of receivers again.
But if there's anybody out there who can make these guys stand out, it's going to be a guy like Tom Brady. I was smart enough to draft Julian Edelman in a couple of my leagues. I know I talked about him last week with you guys and got a little flack from Carlos Saisu. But with Danny Amendola going down early, even before that, you saw how well Edelman performed. I mean, he was the first guy that Tom Brady looked for in the end zone last week, and he looked for him numerous times after that. So if you had a chance to draft him, like I talked about at the beginning of the show, you're pretty excited, and I feel strongly just slot that guy in there.
And if you missed out on Edelman, you said numerous targets. How about Kembrell Tompkins? He had 14 targets, was only able to bring four in. He made some errors, was able to rack in 42 yards. But keep an eye on Kembrell Tompkins. Maybe this is one of the weeks where he really makes a name for himself.
That's our new sound effect, guys. Woo! We're moving it along. All right, next one. Washington at Green Bay. This game right here, it's got some serious fantasy implications. A lot of players that you can be really excited about. And some question marks, too, at the same time.
Big question mark.
RG3, Alfred Morris. Are we expecting much of these guys this week after last week's disappointing? RG3 pulled it out at the end. He came to, you know, he started off slow, but he did pull it out. But Alfred Morris was a big disappointment, guys. Can we expect him to turn it around this week against Green Bay?
I would say no. They still will get you decent face, but no. I think Green Bay's defense is really hungry right now. They need to show it. They need to prove it. This is going to be their first game at home. It's going to be really rough. And the running game, that could be a little different. Alfred Morris could probably get you a little more points, but I'm really concerned about RG3 and his throwing right now. He's just throwing fadeaway jump shots. He's lifting that left leg up, and I really don't like it. He seems timid, which is really going to affect him when he's got someone like Clay Matthews trying to jam him down his throat. So.
And we saw that in week one, what he did at Kaepernick.
Was he a little pumped up, you think?
Just a little.
I mean, that hit out of bounds, it was just
absurd.
It was uncalled for.
They were 5 yards. That wide line is probably almost 5 yards wide.
Yeah.
And he cleared that and then hit Kaepernick.
Yeah, I mean, it was something to be like, wow, I can't believe he just really did that and cost his team those points, especially a guy like Clay Matthews. He's smarter than that.
Yeah, if I'm RG3's knee and I saw a tape of that Matthews hit, I'd be running. But you know what? It was at least encouraging, Bailey, to see that RG3 was starting to click in the second half.
He was.
Yeah, I mean, you don't rack up 329 yards and two touchdowns. Mind you, he did have two interceptions. He didn't play a preseason game. So that first half, I guess you can call it his preseason.
Yeah,
okay, that's a solid point. He was definitely very rusty.
The other side of the ball, guys, Rodgers and his crew that he's passing the ball to, are we confident that they're going to put up big numbers this week against RG3 and the Redskins' defense?
I would. The Redskins' defense is pretty tough, but they got pretty embarrassed last week with the no-huddle that Philly ran. And we all know Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers offense can do that. So, yes, I would be concerned, and I would be really excited to have Rodgers or any of those receivers.
I'm excited about Eddie Lacy in his second game. The fact that he is going to be able to run the ball against this Washington team, unlike he did against the Niners last week. I thought the Niners did a really good job of bottling him up, keeping him from doing anything. I think he's got a lot more time this week racking up those points, Carlo.
This matchup goes hand in hand with Aaron Rodgers. More opportunities for Eddie Lacy, keeps the defense off balance. Aaron Rodgers has more space to throw. I mean, I mentioned it last week. Eddie Lacy will not get an opportunity to really shine in week one. This time against the Redskins defense, I feel a little bit more positive. Not superstar numbers for Eddie Lacy, but better numbers.
That's good.
All right, Denver at the Giants, guys. This game I'm excited about. I mean, after seeing Peyton Manning throw for 7 touchdowns last week, I think it's going to be obviously a great season for him. Eli Manning on the other side had a good game last week, quarterback-wise. It was nice for him to connect with Victor Cruz for those touchdowns. I mean, it seems like they just fell right back into form as they were last year. And
they both look really healthy, Cruz and Nix.
Yeah,
Nix look really good.
And you got to remember, they also have that tight end in there that they picked up from
Raiders,
Oakland,
yeah.
Brandon Myers. He, at the end of the game, became like Eli's safety blanket, man. It seemed like every time he needed to throw the ball downfield, he looked for Myers. He had those 3 or 4 connections with him right in a row, and then he got that touchdown in the game. I was a little stressed out because I started Myers, and I was thinking, ooh, this guy's not really – he had that run catch at the very beginning, but after that he was kind of slow. But then, you know, you got to just stick with these guys. You got to feel confident because – at the end of the game, it showed you right there. He ended up with like 19 fantasy points, which is, you know, I'll take that every day for my tight end.
And it will probably be big this game as well because Denver most likely will go up a touchdown or two if the way things continue. Giants' run game will diminish. The rest will just fall into place for fantasy football owners owning Eli or any of the receivers.
Yeah, speaking about Giants' run game diminished, you have David Wilson
out
and
Andre Brown is out.
David Wilson
fumbled twice,
showing that he's still the same David Wilson from last year.
Seriously.
Now, do you put any fantasy value in the return of Brandon Jacobs?
You know what? I saw that tweet come across this week, Carlo. I saw you tweeted that, and I almost jumped on him. I almost thought about picking him up because...
As a Niner fan, come on.
Well, I mean, the guy had his best years in New York, so him going back to New York, to me, it was just like a no-brainer. I was like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to fit right in. And like you said, they don't have anybody else. Andre Brown, gone. Wilson, obviously, they don't trust him. They benched him. So, you know, a guy like Brandon Jacobs coming in, I might take a flyer on him and give him an opportunity. I mean, if you had these other guys on their team and they went down, run out and grab Brandon Jacobs because he might get those goal line touches considering he's such a big back.
Another thing I'm concerned about offensively for the Giants, Eli Manning had 3 interceptions last week. It was a tough start. He's going against a much better defense than the Broncos.
Yeah, but those interceptions, I don't blame Eli for, especially the last one, man. That was a tip ball. His running back should have had that ball. He didn't turn around. You saw how frustrated he was right afterwards.
Oh,
so
that Eli face is hilarious.
Oh, it's so funny, man. He's so like a little kid when he gets upset. He's just like, oh, man, like really? Peyton Manning this week. Do you guys think he should continue with his success against this Giants defense?
Highly.
No doubt.
Are you worried about the pressure he's going to face with the front 4 or front 3 or 4 or 5, however many they send at him?
No.
He's just going to pick them apart.
He won't throw for 7 and whatever how many yards he threw, but he'll definitely pick him apart.
We didn't really even talk about the fact that he's playing his brother.
Yeah. There's a good one right there. He's definitely now. I'm like,
weighing on Peyton's mind. He has 2. I have 1. He has 2. I have 1. So he wants to make sure he brings out his A game against his brother.
And he's beaten Eli every time he's faced him so far in the last couple of years they played each other. So it would be interesting to see if he continues to roll, which I think he will.
I mean, he's lucky to go to New York too in the nicer weather instead of being there and later in the season.
And you're going to play either Manning anyways. There's no question you're going to start these guys. So feel free to start them and just let's see which one performs the better.
Last season, Giants secondary ranked 28th in pass defense.
Oy. All right, Bailey, this one's going to be close to our hearts this week. It's a little Man, it's exciting.
The
and
I wish that bet was true.
Russell Wilson came out and ruined it for everybody and said it wasn't true. I was really hoping it was. I thought that was a great bet between those two guys.
Doesn't mean it has to be true between you guys. Let's do it.
Oh,
come on.
No, I don't think I can pull off the one eyebrow.
Come on.
It's so hard work looking this good. I can't do that to myself.
We should do something like a battle of the beards.
This is why I love
it. See, the difference is I never shave my beard. You do tend to shave it every once in a while.
Yeah, I do, but I'm not shaving it right now. First, before we actually get into fantasy, I will say this. I obviously root for Seattle, but I'm thinking San Francisco is going to beat us this one.
Oh,
wow.
Come on, baby.
Wow, you're giving up that easy?
Especially if you were a gambling man, I would definitely take San Francisco and the points.
You're not making this any fun, Bailey, but I'll let you know that I think this is going to be a closer game than you think. I think Seattle is going to play really well. I think their defense is going to step up this week and give San Francisco a little bit of a problem. Dude, they got a good secondary, man. You got that Sherman guy out there. I worried about him. You got that offensive or that defensive line this week. You said Clemens came back. He's that guy was a beast. He had 4 sacks in 1 game last year. So you got to always worry about guys like that. How do you guys think Kaepernick will throw against these guys?
It's not going to be as easy as he made it look against the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm impressed, though. Kaepernick looks like he's a better thrower than he was last season.
Dude, people are trying to stop him from running the ball, and then they go, oh, wait a second. This guy has one of the best arms in the league.
He definitely has a cannon. Definitely.
So are we thinking that he's going to have as good a week this week with his receiver, Anquan Boldin? Do you think Boldin, is there any chance whatsoever that Boldin gets 200 yards again?
No. It'll be a lot more rough for Kaepernick and the passing offense. Actually, for even hiking the ball is going to be rough. You're going on the road to Seattle on Sunday night.
12th man, dude. That stadium,
enough said right
that
there.
That stadium is so loud.
I don't care who you are, that's rough.
Stadium is so loud.
So what's the over-under on the false starts? I'll throw out 4.
I'll say under.
Okay, under on the
I'll
4.
I'll say under.
Carlo? 4.
I'll go under. The under.
I'll go over.
There so Russell Wilson going on the other side of the ball. I don't know, man. I mean, he's going up against the new San Francisco defense. The line obviously is good. Our secondary is decent, not great. But it'll be interesting to see how Russell Wilson does getting out of the pocket.
Your rookie safety looked good, Reed.
No, he yeah, you're
it'll
right.
It'll be rough in Seattle, but he did look good, which is nice for y'all.
San Fran secondary in the last 3 games, allowing 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan. I think we're going to be adding Russell Wilson to this list.
Oof.
And one thing to, I'm sorry, I guess to move on, I really like this fact that Lynch is, I think, the only runner to rush for 100 yards on you guys the past 2 times he's faced you.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 times.
I believe so.
But he's the one of the only ones that's actually been able to run 100 yards.
I was going to ask you next. That was my next question. Are you expecting a bounce back week for Lynch then?
Yes. I actually definitely, for fantasy-wise, 100%. He'll get 10 points. You know, I think he'll get that 100 yards. The question is, can he get in the end zone?
And what about the other side of the ball, Carlo? Frank Gore had a real tough time last week against Green Bay's defense. How do you think he does this week against Seattle?
You know, frankly, I'm not that high on Frank Gore. Age is the factor for me. I think he'll get an end zone opportunity.
There you go.
I know you're looking at me with some bright eyes, man.
There you go.
End zone opportunity, maybe a touchdown, not a lot of yardage, but Frank Gore went high on some drafts, so you got to play him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like that.
And I said this last week, the one thing I really like about San Francisco is Harbaugh's play calling. That helps fantasy players, fantasy teams a lot.
The receivers, obviously Anquan Boldin on the San Francisco side. Yes, Vernon Davis, yes. What are you looking at on the Seattle side, Bailey? Are you liking any of their receivers?
Baldwin's our third down guy. It's really, I think the big question is, can we get any long shots like we did last game? That's going to be huge, getting those chunks of yards at 30, 40. You know, those are big plays that defenses need to dwindle down. So, yes, I think it'll be good if we can get another long ball to someone.
All right, sounds good. Last game of the week, guys. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Obviously, we all saw Pittsburgh struggled last week very badly, and they got shut out. But not shut out. They got beat badly. They only scored one touchdown. and they're going up against Cincinnati. So what do we like for the Steelers this week, fantasy-wise? Are we expecting any of their players to play well, their running backs?
Emmanuel Sanders did decent last week. I think he got 7 to 10 points, and that's it.
If you're looking at targets alone, Sanders, 12 targets.
There you go.
Antonio Brown, of course, who went higher than Sanders in the drafts, only got 7 targets. But I do feel that Sanders would have more value.
Obviously, they lost their starting center, which is huge, when you when you're going up. You know,
he's an all-pro center.
Yeah, and Pouncey. I mean, you lose that guy, and Ben Roethlisberger has probably very little chemistry with this backup center, and you got to worry about the protection then. So he struggled all week long. So I don't know. I don't really like Ben Roethlisberger this week. I think you stay away from him if you have another option.
Yeah, I agree.
I say you go with that. Bengals on the other side of the ball. Obviously, we're going to look for A.J. Green to continue to roll with Andy Dalton. Those guys are both looking good after last week's game. And the Steelers, just their defense didn't look that great last week. They couldn't stop them.
No. And I dropped the Steelers D immediately. I was very upset. And a lot of that has to do with the offense. Cincinnati's D, Cincinnati in general are going to be hungry. They should have won last week. A.J., you know, should have had 3 touchdowns. Ben Jarvis got some good touches, but I think the Bengals O is going to really come out and steamroll the Steelers team.
I was a little disappointed in the Cincinnati defense. I play in IDP leagues, and Geno Atkins, who I thought was going to be a monster, I had him in my D-line position. He didn't do nothing. He did absolutely zip, zero. So, I don't know. I had to pick somebody else up. Anyway, Cincinnati, I like them to continue to roll, especially on offense. The Bengals, start them all. I think Pittsburgh on the other side of the ball is going to struggle, and we're gonna see some poor weeks for Ben Roethlisberger moving forward if they don't have their center coming back. That's how I see it. That's how Ben sees it. This
one last note, Ben.
Oh, Ben.
One last note. How are we going to get through this week without talking about the Eagles?
Yeah, I guess we did skip the Eagles a little bit. We should have mentioned them a little bit, but
no, we're going to talk about them next week, and we can't. That's a small sample size. We can't just blow our whole podcast up for the Eagles. We'll wait till next week, and we'll be able to compare it there.
What are you going to say?
Can't you say the Eagles are fantasy dreams, though? More plays equal more fantasy point opportunities,
that
right?
First half was amazing, 53. They only scored 1 touchdown in the second half, and Chip Kelly even said they weren't fast enough.
Yeah, they're going to get even faster, which is
But safe. Everybody loved that first half. Everybody loved McCoy. McCoy was a god last week.
Dude, he was amazing. He was really good. DeSean Jackson looked good when he had the opportunity to get the ball. Michael Vick.
I'm high on him this year, at least early in the season. And Ben, good news for you. Eagles finished with 77 plays Monday night. Did you know that the Niners ran 75?
Oh, I didn't realize they got that many off. That's crazy.
As fast as the Eagles were, the Niners were right there.
Wow. That's amazing to me. I can't believe they got that many plays off. Let's move it along, guys. Like I was going to say before, we're going to do our top five players at each position right here. We got our quarterbacks that I'm going to run through. We're going to do our running backs, Bailey, and wide receivers and tight ends are going to come from Carlo. We're going to do this every week. So top five QBs this week. And this is just for this week, who they're playing against, who I think is going to be the best. I think number one, Peyton Manning versus the Giants. He's going to continue to roll. Second, I got Brady versus the Jets. I like Brady this week big time. I think he's going to continue to have a really good season. These next three are interesting. Terrell Pryor. I mean, he had a really big game against last week, and number one rusher going into Monday night was Terrell Pryor, if you can believe it. Number one rusher in the NFL. So I like Pryor this week against the Jags. I'm going Cutler versus the Vikings. I'm taking Cutler right there because the Vikings gave up a crap ton of yards. And I think Cutler is going to have a really good week, so stick with him. And then on the other side, my last one, Andy Dalton in Cincinnati going up against the Steelers. I love him this week. The Steelers played really poor, and A.J. Green is just going to be a monster again. So I think look for Andy Dalton to have a really big week against the Steelers. That's who I'm going with. Those are my five. Bailey, who you got there for running backs?
we'll keep AP at number one until he proves it's different. AP at Chicago, number two, McCoy versus San Diego. Great home game. He looked awesome last week. Forte versus Minnesota. He did good as well last week. Minnesota gave up a bunch of yards to Bush and all them. And Jamaal Charles versus Dallas. I think that's an interesting one. They're at home. Dallas's defense is still getting settled. And then I got Lynch versus San Francisco. Like I said earlier, Lynch runs for 100 yards the past three times, I believe, against San Francisco. He'll be good for you. He'll definitely bounce back. And then my bonus is Steven Jackson versus St. Louis playing his old team at home.
Bonus. Got to get that bonus in. Carlos Saisu, who you got there at receiver and tight end?
For receivers, no questions. Calvin Johnson, still, you got to put Megatron up there. There's a reason you drafted him. Somewhere in the first, early in the second round, you got to get Demaryius Thomas, big benefactor off Peyton Manning's big night in week one. He will be the same in week two. Brandon Marshall at three. Julio Jones. You know what? I was deciding between Brandon Marshall, Julio Jones at three, but I'll put Julio Jones at four. High hopes for him, especially with Roddy White. Again, not practicing, so if you do follow his Twitter feed, that means he most likely will not have a good game. AJ Green at five. I'll give you a sleeper. I'll put your boy, Julian Edelman, especially with the injuries to the Patriots. More on that later. Hint, hint. Tight ends, Jimmy Graham. No question about that. Tony G, Tony Gonzalez at number two. Jason Witten, despite two touchdowns last week, I'll put him down to three. Bonus with the sleeper, Jordan Cameron. If you listened to me last week, I'm high on Jordan Cameron. Jordan Cameron will be playing the Ravens. Cleveland Browns versus Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens made Julius Thomas look like a superstar. Why not Jordan Cameron?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the way he played last week, look out. All right, guys, we're going to do our last segments here. Right now, Bailey's Benchum, Carlos Saisu's Saisu Sleepers, and Ben's Breakout Players of the Week. I'm going to start with my Breakout Player of the Week, who I expect to have a really good week. And it might seem a little like an easy one, but I'm going AJ Green. He's facing Pittsburgh this week, who just got torched last week. And they're going to continue to get torched because I think they have some issues there in secondary. And AJ Green, like Bailey said earlier, almost had three touchdowns last week. And I continue to think he's going to continue to roll. Just look for AJ Green to have a monster week again. And moving forward, who you benching, Bailey?
Any Steeler player. Except the only exception I'll have right now is Emmanuel Sanders in your flex position. Steelers are going to be garbage for a couple more weeks.
Carlos Saisu, who you not sleeping on?
I'm not sleeping on your boy, Julian Edelman. Again, it's about the injuries to the Patriots. With Shane Vereen now out, Rob Gronkowski still out, Danny Amendola with a groin injury. Julian Edelman, last week, 7 catches, 79 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The Patriots are going to cut up the Jets, and Dr. Tom Brady will go to his best nurse, I guess, Julian Edelman.
I don't know if he likes to be referred to like that.
He's only owned in 53% of ESPN League, so keep an eye out for him. Grab him now.
Yeah, and I guarantee he was the number one pickup this week. Everybody went reaching for him after he caught those 2 touchdowns. Because you got to think, you know, Brady sees that. He's going to keep going right to him. All right, guys. Week 2 is in the books. Once again, Ben Conroy, Michael Bailey.
Good luck this week.
Carlos Saisu. Follow us on Twitter, at LA Fantasy Freaks, smackchat.com, Facebook. Find us there. See you later. Peace out.